Welcome to the St. Michael Daily Meditations for Lent. My name is Christian Basil, and I will be leading our meditation today. Our theme this Lent is in the garden. When Jesus faced his deepest trial, he prayed in the garden. As we struggle with our own trials, Jesus walks with us and calls us to a deeper life of prayer and commitment to God's love. As Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 14, verses 1 through 19. Pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For those who speak in a tongue and do not speak to other people but to God, for nobody understands them, since they are speaking mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, those who prophesy speak to other people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. Now I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you in some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? It is the same way with lifeless instruments that produce sound, such as the flute or harp. If they do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is being played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will it get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if in a tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is being said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different kinds of sounds in the world, and nothing is without sound. If then I do not know the meaning of a sound, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves. Since you are eager for spiritual gifts, strive to excel in them for building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. What should I do then? I will pray with the spirit, but I will pray with the mind also. I will sing praise with the spirit, but I will sing praise with the mind also. Otherwise, if you say a blessing with the spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say the Amen to your thanksgiving, since the outsider does not know what you are saying? For you may give thanks well enough, but the other person is not built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church I would rather speak 5 words with my mind, in order to instruct others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Here ends the reading. Have you heard the joke about a guy who didn't have a tongue? It's pretty tasteless. I know, sometimes even in prayer and reflection, we stumble on bad jokes and puns. Today's passage is one we rarely hear. It's skipped over entirely in the Sunday lectionary, and really, we don't often know what to make of it. The spiritual gift of speaking in tongues occupies a unique place in the church, often sparking curiosity, debate, doubt, and sometimes even controversy. It is not a practice we widely or ever see within the Episcopal Church. In this passage, Paul addresses the Corinthians' misuse and misunderstanding of this spiritual gift. He emphasizes the importance of uplifting the church through intelligible communication rather than prioritizing personal spiritual experiences devoid of any understanding. Speaking in tongues, or glossolalia, is a spiritual gift manifested through the utterance of unknown languages or ecstatic speech under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And while the significance and practice of speaking in tongues varies widely across denominations and theological traditions, its essence lies in the expression of spiritual connection and communication with God. But I wonder if we might take a wider view of speaking in tongues. As Paul states in verse 10, there are doubtless many different kinds of sounds in the world, and nothing is without sound. Everything makes a noise. Everything has a voice. And there is a need for balance and discernment in the things that we hear, in the spiritual gifts that we practice, ensuring that everything contributes to praising the glory of God. There is a need for interpreting what we hear so that we understand. In a modern-day context, we might think of the many ways that our need for interpretation extends beyond linguistic barriers. Think of the ways that we might need interpretation between generations. How often have your children or grandchildren or even great-grandchildren seemed to have spoken another language entirely, or talked about interests and passions that are so different from anything that you grew up with? Or maybe when a young person is so excited that they don't know how to react or what to say and ramble off words and phrases that hardly mean anything to an adult. Sometimes we need words to cover ideas that we can't explain. Maybe you remember that famous scene from the movie Mary Poppins. After winning a race on a carousel horse, a reporter says to Mary Poppins, "There probably aren't words to describe your emotions." And of course, she replies, "On the contrary, there's a very good word. It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. The word to say when you don't know what to say." And you might think of the ways that ideologies and political and social beliefs become so technical and filled with their own bank of terms that it's difficult to really understand what someone is talking about. So many things have their own type of language. Military acronyms, business jargon, and of course even the church is full of churchy words that most outsiders could never define. Just as linguistic interpreters bridge the gap between languages, so too do we often need interpretation of ideas and beliefs between parts of our culture that have grown so far apart or become so specialized that they are nearly separated from one another entirely. The main idea in this passage is that we need spiritual discernment and interpretation. Help us continue to see the value in all these things, because we are all united in the body of Christ. We must all foster unity amidst diversity. This discussion on tongues and interpretation is part of the larger discussion on spiritual gifts and love in 1 Corinthians. And we can relate it back to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul states, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to embrace and use our spiritual gifts for the common good and uplifting of the church. Just as each part of the body serves a unique function, the diversity of spiritual gifts enriches and strengthens the body of Christ, enabling us to fulfill our collective mission of love and reconciliation in the world." As we see and hear the struggles of those around us in this season of Lent, how can we help to build those people up? What gifts do we see that they are not using? What gifts of ours are we not using? How do we strengthen the body of Christ? Jesus, of course, gives us an example. He speaks, prays with God. He walks with those in trouble. He commits deeply to what God has called him to. And we are challenged to do the same, to walk with others, to commit to our call to be disciples, and to pray, to communicate with God. And if you don't know what to pray for, pray anyways. After all, don't our prayers often descend into a jumbled mess of unrelated thoughts and ideas? Don't we often lack the words to articulate a feeling or emotion that we're trying to express? Sometimes we may need to utter the unutterable, to allow our minds to convey thoughts in whatever way is possible to a God who can interpret our ideas for us. Sometimes when we pray, we don't know what to say, and there's nothing wrong with that. Whether you believe that speaking in tongues is technically possible, or something that is part of our collective Christian past, or whether you think it is based more broadly in something metaphorical. What is of importance is remembering that your prayers have a place in worship and a place in the body of Christ. Your prayers begin to order and interpret the longings and needs of our hearts and help to build up the body of the faithful as well as those in need of faith. Your prayers this Lent, no matter how you say them, guide you deeper into the life of Christ and the reality of God's love. Please join me as we continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.